So as you guessed, today we want to take some time to talk about prayer. As you know, we've been journeying through the Believe series of studies this year, and we spent 10 weeks asking the question, what do I believe? And then last week we began a series of studies where we will answer the question, so what should I do? And last week we talked about worship as something that Christians do. And obviously, worship is certainly a really important part of the life of a follower of Jesus. Next week, we're going to look at Bible study. That's another important part of the life of any follower of Jesus. But today, we're going to talk about prayer. And I can't imagine how any of us could be a follower of Jesus if we weren't actively involved in prayer. I think many, if not most of us, are actively involved in praying for our church, our family, friends, in addition to praying for our own personal needs. Prayer is an important part of what our church family does here at Mechanic Grove. So today we want to talk a little more about what the Bible tells us about how prayer should look in each of our lives. We're going to look at prayer by looking at this passage in Luke that Pastor Kevin read. It's where we hear Jesus telling his disciples how to pray by teaching them what we call the Lord's Prayer. Now, this version that you heard Pastor Kevin read from Luke is a little different than the Lord's Prayer that we typically use because the typical one comes from the Gospel of Matthew. But today we're going to look at prayer as it's described in the Gospel of Luke. So if we want to learn more about prayer, I think it first makes sense to look at the words of Jesus when he taught his disciples how to pray, because Jesus came to earth to show us the Father. He spent much of his time on earth teaching his disciples and all those who came to him. So one of the best ways to learn about prayer is to look at what Jesus taught us about prayer. But I also, in addition to that, want to take some time this morning to talk about how God answers our prayer. I think we've all known times when our prayers were not maybe always answered. At least they weren't answered in the way that we think God should have answered our prayer. So I'm also going to spend a little time talking about how God answers our prayer. So to do that, I want to begin with a little short video clip that introduces one way that some people view prayer. So Rhonda, can you help me with that video clip? So I think we'd all agree there's a little humor in that video clip, because the man in the video clip approached God thinking of what he wanted God to give him. And I think you notice that the cost of those requests was that he spends 15 minutes in prayer. And after he spent 15 minutes in prayer, he got everything he was asking for. That's somewhat of a humorous way to look at prayer. But I suspect that it's an approach that may be the way that some people approach prayer. Because we're often looking for the right words, maybe just the right way to pray, so that God will give us the answer that we're hoping to receive to our prayers. So this morning I want to first take some time to look at prayer as it's described in the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to first look at how Jesus tells us to pray. And then we're going to talk about how God answers those requests that we bring to God in prayer. So in verse 1 of Luke 11, we see these words. Pastor Kevin read them. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." So Jesus is showing us by his example, first of all, that prayer is important. If you've taken the time to read through the Gospels, you may have noticed just how important prayer was for Jesus. In fact, you may notice as you read through the Gospels that every time the disciples couldn't find Jesus, it's because he had gone away to pray. It was pretty obvious to the disciples that prayer played a critical role in the life of Jesus. So here we see the disciples asking Jesus to show them how to pray. And, and here's an interesting thought. After spending those years with Jesus, you would think that there would have been a whole list of things that the disciples would have asked Jesus to teach them to do. Like, wouldn't you love to be able to walk on water? Or stop storms in their tracks? Or wouldn't you love to know how to catch all those fish that you want out of the water? Or maybe even catch a single fish to pay your taxes? Or maybe you'd like to know how to feed a whole bunch of people when they don't have any food in the house. But the Gospels don't tell us that the disciples ever asked Jesus to tell them how to do any of those things. But the disciples did ask Jesus to teach them to pray. That must have been a very important part of what they saw in Jesus. And that's when Jesus taught them the Lord's Prayer. And this prayer begins with some requests that are focused on what I'm going to call God's agenda. There are words that reflect things that tell us about who God is and what God wants for his kingdom here on earth. So I'm going to call those first requests the you, Y-O-U, you petitions. So in verse 2, we read, he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. So look at those opening words that you see there. Father, the reference to Father reminds us that we're coming to a Father who delights in supplying the needs of his children. It's a reminder that God wants us to know him as a Father who loves and cares for us. Then we see the word hallowed, holy. When we pray, hallowed be your name, we sort of climb to a new level of respect for God and reverence for his person. We're being reminded of who God is compared to who we are. Then we see the word name. In Hebrew, the word name means much more than just the name by which you're called. Name means the whole character of the person as it's revealed and made known to us. When we know God's name, we know his character and his mind and his heart, and we will gladly put our trust in him. So notice the order of this prayer as it begins. Before anything else, before we even ask for anything for ourselves, what first comes is God's name and his glory and the reverence due to him. Only when we give God his place will other things take their proper place in our lives. Then he goes on and he adds the word, and your kingdom come. So when we pray, your kingdom come, the prayer recognizes that God's kingdom is not presently ruling here on earth. So after we've established who God is, we're reminded of what God wants for his kingdom here on earth. When we pray asking God for his kingdom to come, we're praying for God's justice, righteousness, peace, and mercy to be established here on earth today. We're praying for God's creation here on earth so that it can better reflect the kind of world that God wants from his creation. So, now we've prayed for God's agenda for us and our lives here on earth. And as I said, I'm calling those the you, Y-O-U, the you petitions. This is where we pray for what God wants. Then the prayer moves on to what I'm going to call the us petitions, praying for what we want. So verse 3 says, give us each day our daily bread. So we're told to pray, give us day by day, every day, our daily bread. The reference reminds us of the absolute dependence we have on God for everything. We're acknowledging that God is our sustainer and our provider. And you know, we're just fooling ourselves when we think that we can provide for all our needs by ourselves. So this request that we see here reminds us that we must trust God daily, every day, to provide for what he knows we need. I'm moving on to verse 4. It says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Now, this petition is not a simple prayer just for forgiveness. It's also asking for a forgiving spirit. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. You know, before we can pray this part of the Lord's Prayer, we first of all must realize that we need to pray these words. We can't pray these words unless we have a sense of the sin in our lives. And I think you've noticed sin is not very popular in our culture today. We don't talk about sin, but we need to know that it's there in our lives. And Jesus is reminding us here that there has to be some kind of give and take between the way we respond to the misdeeds of others and the way God responds to our own misdeeds. And if we refuse to practice forgiveness in our relationships with others, then we pretty much void God's forgiveness in our own lives as well. God will not forgive us when we don't forgive others. I'm moving fast, I'm moving on. We get to the next section and it says, and lead us not into temptation. Now, we often think about God allowing us to be tested by temptation. And we think of temptation as a bad word. And we don't want to be tempted to do something evil. But my understanding is this word temptation in this passage is actually more referring to a time of testing. So there's a Greek word out there. The Greek word is perizein. And that refers to a test. And that's the word that we see here in Luke. Perizein. So in the Gospels, we read about Jesus spending 40 days in the wilderness being tempted, that word perizein, by Satan. And if we take that word tempt to mean we're being tempted into sin, then in the story of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, it sounds as if God is tempting Jesus to do something evil, to sin. But I think we need to remember this word perizein, tempt, actually has the idea of testing in it. Jesus was led into the wilderness for a time of testing. And when we face temptation or testing, we may fail the test. We might fail. But we're not meant to fail the test. We're meant to emerge stronger and better people as a result of our time of testing. So as we think about this idea of how we may be tested in our lives, let's think again about that video clip that we saw a little bit earlier. In that video clip, the young man approached God by asking God for his long list of things that he wanted God to give him. And as we've looked at this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, I think we can see that our prayers to God need to be much broader than just this long list of requests. We want to pray for more than just our own personal desires. We want to remember to pray for God's will to be done in this world. We want to remember to confess our own sins and ask for forgiveness. Coming to God is about much more than just asking for the things that we want God to give us. And we want to remember that God does indeed sometimes call us into a time of testing. So in these opening verses in Luke 11, Jesus gives his disciples and us a wonderful pattern for the kind of prayer that Jesus used when he prayed to his Heavenly Father. And I don't think we can go wrong when we use this kind of pattern that we've just talked about for our own personal prayers. But I want to move a little further on in this passage in Luke because there's more there. There are some very interesting promises included here in this passage in Luke, and I think you heard Pastor Kevin read them. Promises can lead us to feel that we can ask God for anything, and God will just give us what we ask for. So I want to move down to verses 9 and 10. And in verses 9 and 10, we see these very well-known words. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So these two verses, I think, challenges a lot. In the verses right before these verses, Jesus reminded his followers, and that would be us, that we can go to God boldly and ask for what we need. And Jesus has reminded us to be persistent about what we ask for. And now in these two verses, Jesus tells us, he's kind of promising us, God will answer those bold and persistent prayers. So when I see these words, I'm tempted to think that I can ask for almost anything and God will give it to me. And that's what we saw in the video clip. That young man came to God, asked for all he wanted, and he got it. Like, wow. I'm not sure if we really think that's how prayer really works. My experience has been that many of us have asked God for things in prayer, and God does answer some of those prayers. And we can tell God, thank you for supplying what we've asked for. And it does happen. We have the joys in our lip bulletin every Sunday. God does answer our prayers. But at least in my experience, I have many things that I've asked God to give me, and not all of those prayers have been answered, or at least not in the way that I was asking God to answer those prayers. Back in the book of Genesis, We read the story of Abraham. He was visited by some men of God who warned Abraham that God was going to destroy the city of Sodom. That was where Abraham's nephew Lot and his family lived. And Abraham, rather boldly, entered into a conversation where he basically pleaded for Lot and his family to be saved. And God did answer that prayer, but in God's own way. Lot and his daughters were saved, but Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt, and the entire city was destroyed. So Abraham's bold request was answered, partially, but not exactly as how Abraham was hoping for the prayer to be answered. I'm going to go on to the book of Judges. We read the story of Gideon. In today's world, we talk about Gideon as a great hero of faith. But when we read the story of Gideon in the book of Judges, we learn that Gideon was actually initially a rather timid man. He was threshing wheat in a wine press where he was hiding from the Midianites. And Gideon was praying that the nation of Israel would be rescued from their enemies. But when an angel of the Lord came to visit Gideon as he was hiding in the wine press, I don't think Gideon saw that angel as an answer to his prayer. Because Gideon was not praying that he could be the person who was going to lead Israel into a battle against the enemies of Israel. Gideon is praying for someone else to be the one to lead them into battle. So God answered Gideon's prayer, but not exactly in the way that Gideon was wanting the prayer to be answered. So we could go on and on about the ways that God answers our prayers. Jesus promises us that God will answer our prayers, and God will always answer our prayers, but he'll answer them in God's way, and God's way will be the perfect way of perfect wisdom and the way of perfect love. Many times, if God were to answer the prayers as we have at the moment's desire, is what we want, it could be the worst possible thing for us. So these words that we see in Luke 9 and 10, Luke 11 verses 9 and 10, remind us not only that God will answer our prayers, but God will answer in wisdom and in love. So I want to share a story. Story is about a woman named Laura Story Elvington. She is a well-known American contemporary Christian music singer and songwriter. 2005, she married her high school sweetheart, Martin Elvington, and they moved to Atlanta, Georgia, where she became an associate worship leader at Perimeter Church. After only 1 year of marriage, Laura's husband was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and it was a medical crisis that forever changed their story. Newlywed Laura Story thought she had control over the great life ahead of her. I mean, after all, she followed Jesus. She had a promising new job as a worship leader. I mean, why would God not fulfill her dreams? But when Laura and her husband faced a brain tumor, infertility, and a son's birth defect, Laura realized she'd been looking for a happiness that comes from circumstances rather than a deeper joy that comes from God. And after her husband, Martin Elvington, was diagnosed with this brain tumor, she asked, she said, "Why don't you just fix it, God? You're powerful. You're all loving. Just fix it." But as Laura dealt with her husband's life-threatening illness, she saw how God never intended for people to provide for themselves. Instead of walking alone, they needed to rely on Jesus' help. So Laura wrote this song called Blessings. She used that song to describe how God will allow things that are not immediately understood to happen in our lives. I want to share some of the lyrics that she included in her song. It starts like this. It says, "We pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep." I pray for these things every night, I think. You know, most of us do. "We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each spoken need, and yet you love us too much to give us lesser things." And the chorus goes on like this. "Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you are near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise?" So let's go back again to that opening video. It tells us about how our prayers to God are like getting things from a vending machine. And we often wish we could just go to God and ask for anything we wish. And there are passages in the Bible, like Luke 11, that may cause us to think that we can just ask for anything we want from God, and we're supposed to expect God to give us anything we pray for. But I think we realize that God loves us far too much to give us anything that we pray for. God always answers our prayers, but he answers our prayers in the way that he knows is best for us. Now, many people see this as a church full of people who pray. I'm pleased to be one of the leaders of the prayer ministry here at Mechanic Grove. We print a prayer and praise list in the bulletin every Sunday. We send out a prayer list in the bulletin on Fridays and again on Monday, and we share all the prayer requests for our church family. And we even now are offering a first Monday prayer and share time at 7 p.m. on Zoom on the first Monday of the month. Prayer is important to many of us at Mechanic Grove. We love to pray. We love to celebrate our answers to prayers. But I think we know that some of our prayers are not always answered in the way that we hope those prayers will be answered. So Jesus encourages in this passage in Luke 11, as well as many other places in the Bible, to pray and to share our heartfelt needs and requests with God. But we must also remember that God is not a vending machine. We pray to God as a means of growing in our relationship with God. We don't pray to get things. We pray because we want to grow closer to our Heavenly Father. Can we close with prayer? Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that we can gather every week and pray. We thank you for this encouragement to pray. But Father, teach us how to be a people who pray to you so that we can grow together and grow in our relationship with you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.